shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green, he leads me by quiet blue. Yeah, though I walk through darkest valleys, you are near me. Your protection, guidance are comforting me every day.
Welcome to the Pro-Life Team podcast. I'm Jacob, and I'm here with Beth, and we're going to learn about a new pro-life movie. Beth, would you introduce yourself for myself and others who may not know you as of yet?
Absolutely. First of all, Jacob, I want to say that I am excited to be on the podcast. I'm really grateful for the work that you're doing and the audience that you connect with. When I had this opportunity, I said it's actually perfect timing in a way. So I am Reverend Beth Caulfield. I'm a pastor turned filmmaker. I am ordained in the Global Methodist Church, and we are very pro-life. And I am commissioned or ordained or appointed to a ministry of filmmaking. And my first feature, faith-based, is called Conceivable. And it'll be out next year in theaters and other places. And I am right now doing pre-release showings of it with pregnancy centers and other pro-life organizations and churches as we ramp up and get ready for marketing the film. So I am someone who has been involved in the pro-life movement personally through my own personal experience, which I'd love to share with you about, and how all this has come into making a movie and God's involvement in that.
Wow. Oh, this is exciting. So tell us a little bit more about Conceivable. Tell us where the name came from. Maybe tell us how things got started, or maybe about the idea or the goals that you might have had when making this movie. Something. Yeah. Tell us more.
Absolutely. Well, I think I should back up and tell you that. A few years ago, when I was very involved in lay people ministry, I was teaching Bible studies, I was teaching studies in prisons and so forth. I had a call on me to go to seminary, and my kids were getting older, and I started recognizing that this was something that I could do as my kids were getting ready to leave the nest. And had a full ride to seminary and was 1 year into it. And this was in my 40s, right? And 1 year into it, found out I was pregnant. That was not my plan. And it was very challenging when I went through the experience of course, the shock and surprise and all that women go through. But then what I found was the journey for older women and even women of faith of navigating an unplanned pregnancy, both within the church as well as with the medical community. And I won't give away all the story of the movie, but it is based on my story. When this originally happened with me, a couple of years into it, when my daughter, spoiler alert, I have a beautiful daughter who is one of three, and she is 13 years younger than my others. And when she was about two, I recognized that it was time to start talking about what I had encountered. And so I wrote articles, and my first one was for Celebrate Life magazine. It's by the American Life League. And I just shared about my experience and some of the myths that needed to be dispelled, as well as to encourage people. I also then was asked to write for a number of magazines about it. And at that time, thought about maybe I need to write a book. Not thinking of it as a book so much of telling my story, but a book of encouragement and facing some of the myths and so forth out there. Couldn't get the book together with a publisher. And at that point, I was back in seminary and busy and so forth. And so just kind of let it go, you know, and went on with my call to join the church and pastor church and so forth, and was very involved in a vibrant ordained ministry, and still am. In the last couple of years, I've moved into filmmaking, and I did write another book before this, and that's called People Throw Rocks at Things That Shine, A Clergy Whistleblower's Tale. It's about my joys and as well as challenges that you encounter in ministry, especially within the realm of being a more traditional pastor in a more progressive denomination. And that's where I had originally started out my ministry in the United Methodist Church. I'm now in the Global Methodist Church. I was one of the leaders in founding that. Whole lot of backstory there. once we became Global Methodists, I felt in my heart that it was time to write the story of my pregnancy. And in my mind, I was thinking about a book, but I just had trouble getting the story out in that way. And instead, what I started recognizing was this was a script. This was a movie. And I went back and took some screenwriting courses and wrote the story. And there's a lot of ministry involved behind the scenes in what I'm about to tell you, but wrote the story, won a faith-based contest for the story, met a studio head, very quickly have put this movie together, and it's been just God's fingerprints all over it in terms of how just things have lined up. And so we've completed the movie and are about to distribute it, as I said, next year in theaters, but are doing some pre-release stories, showings. It is called Conceivable, as kind of a double entendre there, that's conceivable for a woman in her 40s to be conceivable. And that is one of the first myths that I want to, deal with. There is such an overplay of the message today about infertility. We hear a lot of stories of many women are choosing to have children later in life, waiting. And then we hear a lot of stories about fertility challenges. Well, my story is one of many that kind of blows that out of the water, in that I was not going through any kind of fertility treatment or anything like that. God found it as the right timing for me to have my third child. The other piece that came through in my story is the variety of advice that I got out there from well-meaning friends, Christian and non-Christian, as well as leaders within the church, including my own pastor. And that advice was some of it pro-life and some of it, Beth, you have a choice. And that was surprising to me. It was also confusing and difficult at a time when you're in shock. It's scary when you have medical advice that nudges you toward abortion, and I show that very clearly in the movie with our team, and at the same time having Christian leaders say the same thing. You know, you have a choice. All that's happening while your hormones are going wild. You're, as I said, you're in shock. You're thinking about, gosh, this wasn't my plan. How am I going to afford this? I'm about to pay for college. We'll never retire. What if this child does have problems? All those things with that push that, well, if you're going to abort a child, it's better to make that decision sooner than later. So all those pressures that are out there on women, I wanted it to come to the forefront. And that's why I wanted the story put out there. So the movie is based on my story. It's semi-autobiographical. But the main point is that it shows compassion for women in the situation. And it also shows that if you seek God, he'll make your path straight. And I'm very clearly showing there those God moments when God was speaking to me through other people, through prayer, through many ways, making it clear that he was with me and he had a plan with this. And the hope is to encourage others to, when they have really any kind of unplanned event in life, to seek God and let him make your path straight. And the movie is also intended to be a conversation starter. I've written it in a way that, I describe it as it's unplanned meets war room in a cheaper by the dozen kind of way. So it's the intent is, while this is, of course, a heavy subject, I try to handle it in a non-heavy way that is done so that it is not seen as judgmental, but rather evoking conversation. It's the kind of movie that pro-life Christians can feel comfortable bringing their pro-choice friends, both Christian and non-Christian too, and have a good conversation. The hope is that it not be so uncomfortable or legalistic that it you know evokes people to just not want to, you know, it's one of those movies. So that's it. You know, we've got a terrific cast that includes probably the biggest name that people know in there is Dean Cain. He plays an OBGYN. I co-direct it with the star in the movie. Her name is Jana Lee Hamblin. She does a phenomenal job. And then Eddie McClintock plays, you know, the dad who really pulls through. And that's all I'll say on that.
Wow. Yeah, this is very enticing. I'm looking forward to seeing this someday. So I'm imagining it's a bit, I'm not sure if I should say the word understandable or normal or expected, but none of those words really fit. But there's certain doctors that are okay with promoting abortion, yeah, and being the, you know, whether it's this variable or the age variable of like above 40, like that's something that, and not to say it's still shocking, but it really just emphasizes the need to have a doctor who agrees with someone's values or position on life. But then the fact that there are pro-life or, you know, Christian leaders or Christian, you know, people in voices that were speaking on both sides of this, you know, both promoting life or promoting really thinking about your options. Boy, that's pretty shocking. It makes you think of the Good Samaritan story, but instead of someone getting beat up, let's imagine you're on that road and you're pregnant and you're looking for, you know, you're trying to navigate, you know, your way to that new city. And, you know, there's a, you know, someone walks by and it's a religious leader and they're, instead of just ignoring you, they're promoting you to go the wrong way. Or just not being helpful, trying to, you know, take that shortcut that is dangerous and violates life. But it just makes me think of like the different people that were interacting with you, and it's very different than the Good Samaritan story, but just sort of imagining like that structure and how you had different people influence with different positive messages or questioning that positive message with a negative or, you know, trying to sow in doubt. That's great. Wow.
Well, so that is, you know, one of the things that the film brings out is about surrounding yourself with good Christian faithful friends who understand God's word. And, you know, the other thing that the movie, you know, brings out is the realities of what research is showing. I don't know if you've had anyone on here yet talk about the Pew Research Center study that came out just last year about people's views on whether any and all abortions should be legal or not within the church. And what that showed is just like the U.S. adults in general, most people in the church say that, you know, abortion is something that should be supported. The only category, again, it's Pew Research 2024, and you can look that up, and we can probably put a link in the show notes. But there's a great graphic that shows white evangelicals are the only group that is against free reign abortion, right? White non-evangelical Protestants, Catholics, Black Protestants, so forth, hugely flipped, are for it, and so. That's just Christians in general, but we need to be tailoring and recognizing that is the world that we are in the church. And then another survey that was done by George Barna, and I believe this was 2022, points out that only 37% of Christian pastors in the United States hold a biblical worldview, right? And that's hard to understand that. By a biblical, he lays out what a biblical worldview is, but it involves believing absolute moral grounded truth that's focused on what the Bible teaches us. He gives more info on that, but he shows that in that survey, even only half of evangelical pastors possess what he calls a biblical worldview. And that's a reputable survey, of course. So I bring a lens to that by just showing this story, right? And I hope that it will lead to more work within the church to really address this. Pastor, what do you say? I know you're in a difficult position, right? Pastors have very difficult jobs. And as many pro-life workers know who try to interact with the church, especially in the pregnancy centers, it can be difficult, not necessarily because the pastor isn't supportive of their work, but rather that they're just don't want to, they don't want to rock the boat. And I am hoping that this movie opens up more conversations on how do we reach the pastors. And, I think there's a number of great resources that are beginning to be put together out there. I love Love Life's House of Refuge work where they, I don't know if you've had them on here, but
yeah, we have. Yeah.
They're doing some great work. I'd love to see more of that. Roland Warren's book about the alternative to abortion. He does some great sound theological work in that, that can be helpful for bolstering pastors. Pastors face a lot of pressures, not only from within their congregation, but especially if they're in more progressive denominations, from the denomination itself. I give an example of the denomination that I came out of, the United Methodist Church, that I left for the Global Methodist Church, the more traditional one. At their general conference last year, they passed a petition affirming a right to abortion, and it passed the floor. Now, when they went to revise their social principles, they tweaked it, and it still is less supportive of abortion. But it came that close, and that is in my belief, an alarm that people who are involved in their churches need to know what's going on. So while the movie doesn't go into those details, it does show that, hey, we need to think about this. This is another area for us to do more work on.
Wow. Yeah. And so, and the word abortion, sometimes people will include subtopics into it, and then some people don't include certain subtopics into it. So like if I said the word milk, it probably would include 2% whole milk, skim milk, fat-free milk, but it may or may not include the dairy-free almond milk. I don't know. But so when I say the word abortion, so like when you're saying the group that was, saying abortion, I guess the question is did they detail out what was included and what was not included? Because abortion's almost like the word milk when it comes to there's a lot of things underneath it. Like, for example, medical surgical abortions, of course, but then there's also ectopic pregnancies where sometimes the life of the child is ended before it ends naturally in order to not have a ruptured fallopian tube. And personally, I think that is wise to do. And I know that not everyone agrees with me on that, but I think that that is smart to preserve the life of the mother. And I'm wondering if that was included or not included. And that might've created that. I'm not sure what created the friction, being against certain abortions, and then there's always the, and there's also the scenarios, the stories like rape and incest. And personally, I think those are hard things to think about. But but at the same time, I have seen the fruit of where God has used the life of a gentleman by the name of Stephen Thynne, who was born out of a case like that. And his life is evidence of how precious life is, even when it comes from very hard beginnings. And so I'm wondering, what was included in that word abortion, or how do they detail it out?
Right. And the details of to that level, I do not believe were included. It was more focused on women's reproductive health, that language.
Okay.
And their right to it. What I would say is I'm in total agreement with you. I love some of the work that APLOG has been doing, American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs.
Yeah.
They have done a good job of saying that, we're really talking about induced abortion. And there are categories within induced abortion. Ectopic pregnancies are a different thing. Issues of preserving a life are a different thing. So I believe that the most important thing are these conversations need to happen. I think that there can be much more gained by having an environment where people who are on both sides of this can sit down and listen to one another and really see where we're talking apples to apples and where we're not. And I think that's part of the problem right now. And that's part of my hope is to provide something that, yes, I'm not going to deny it's a pro-life movie by any means, but it is something that raises a lot of the issues that people are either afraid of or misinformed of what other people's views are on it.
Yeah. I was doing some research on abortion abolitionists, and they were actually opposed to it, the procedure of helping a woman in ectopic pregnancy, which sort of threw me off. I didn't know that there was a group that was, I don't know. It just threw me. I didn't expect that. But at the same time, sometimes we all get grouped into the same sort of under the word milk or under the word pro-life or under the word against abortion. And there's some groups that are very unique in some of their positions or I would call wrong, I guess, I would agree. Ectopic pregnancy, it does end the life of a 6-week old child when being removed from the fallopian tube, but at the benefit of not having a rupture and saving the life of the mother if it were to rupture that fallopian tube. And it's just simply it's not an abortion, because abortion usually means there's a chance for the child to live, and there's an end that's a choice being made to end that life. And so I would agree with how you phrased it, how you said that's not under abortion. But I'm just wondering, if someone included some language like that, it makes it so we have to sort of know what words we're using and what's included, because some of these words get used different ways by different groups.
Exactly. And so I love what APLOG has put out there, but it hits on, where, so my calling in my ministry, in this film ministry, is to address what I'll call morally complex issues. The reality is there are truths in this world, but we're also in a fallen world. And there are all kinds of ramifications from that, both, medically, relationally, on and on, right? We should not, and I think we do a disservice to our cause as Christians, as well as pro-life advocates, we shouldn't shy away from addressing complexities and just saying, it's just, that's it. It's one way. But instead, have faith. in God in engaging in these things and encourage, and as the movie shows, you know, my character goes on what I'll call a spiritual pilgrimage, right? Where she really, really needs to hear from God because she's hearing there might be something wrong with her baby. She's hearing, you know, this is going to mess up my life. She's hearing a whole bunch of things. And she needs to get along with God, and he shows up.
Wow. So that really sort of, so I want to ask you what seems to me like a hard question, but it may not be hard to you. So, and based on what you just said, I feel like there's a lot of, a lot of parallels here. So in the story of Abraham and Isaac, when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son, Isaac, and to test his faith, that's one of the stories in the Bible that I see as difficult as someone who's against abortion, because, you know, I ask myself, like, do I always follow God, or am do I have this rule? And what I've come to is that I should always follow God and follow his direction from the Bible, from, you know, the way he speaks, the way he communicates. I should follow him. And I pull that, and I think about the Abraham Isaac situation of trust God and keep following him, even if what he tells you, sometimes it's really hard. And so would you, based on what you just said, how you went to, you're following God, even through hard times, you're getting advice from people who seem like they're Christian leaders in your life. Can you sort of, you know, maybe try and think about the Abraham Isaac story and your story and sort of just speak about that and how you chose to follow God and speak more about that?
Yeah. First of all, I thank you for bringing that up, because that is the perfect story to bring up for this. And yes, you're right. You know, the big lesson that I take out of, and many theologians take out of, that Abraham Isaac story is, are we going to follow God no matter what, no matter what it looks like through man, even through our own moral laws, which that's really freaks me out too, right?
It's hard to grapple with.
It's very hard to grapple, but I think it brings to another point, and that is, are we about the cause? Are we about following God who is behind the cause?
Yeah.
Right. And I think that is very key. And Jacob, I don't have to tell you, that's a huge issue. and I think that back to my story and the movie itself, that's exactly what happens with someone who is in that situation. There's so much confusion. And I think that's life in general. When we all find ourselves in unplanned situations, you know, the job is lost, you know, whatever it is, there are many paths. And sometimes it can get confusing. But if you're seeking God with all your heart, you know, through prayer, through getting with godly friends, which I do show some wonderful people who had some great advice in the movie as well. And getting along, you know, really journaling and everything else, he shows up. Will the answer necessarily be light bulb easy? No, it's usually a faith decision, but you know in your heart that's where you're being led to. There's nothing wrong with going out and getting sound medical advice. That's important. And I'm certainly not discouraging people from seeking out advice from Christian leaders. That is very important too. I am more importantly just saying that if you use the resources that God has given you, the Bible, Christian leaders, friends, and your own personal relationship with him, he'll make the path straight. when I chose, and again, I can't give away the movie, but when I chose, yes, I'm done with testing. I'm, excuse me.
No worries.
I'm done with testing. I'm done with doubting. I also, you know, I reveal some things that I found out in the movie, but when I made that decision in my heart to make that leap, and I did that with my husband, there was such a release. And you know, people know that in many decisions that they make when they follow God, even the first one to just accept Him as Lord and Savior. So that is key to our journey on this, and it's my hope that this movie be seen more as a journey of faith than anything else.
Oh, that's so good. So I'm going to take you on another. So one of the ways I like the way my church will often help us understand what to do in different scenarios is we try and reflect on scripture based on what we're currently going through and trying to, you know, ask questions and trying to really, you know, almost like a journaling kind of way to understand how scripture can apply, or at least some scripture can apply to a certain situation. So based on Psalms 23, when you are going through this hard time and you end up choosing, you chose yes, what were your green pastures? What was God putting in your path that was really delightful and restored your soul? And then what was your still waters, as in you had to follow Him, but it was also very refreshing for your soul? What was your green pastures and still waters during this time?
Oh, that's a great question. And I'm wondering, you must have watched the trailer for the movie, because
seen the trailer.
There's a powerful scene that is revealed in the trailer of her praying the 23rd Psalm.
Oh,
in a beautiful setting. And
I'd like to see it. I just haven't seen it yet.
Sure. No, I'll just tell your viewers, they can go to our website, which is ConsumableTheMovie.com. There's a whole lot of information about it, including the trailer. And so we filmed, she went on a spiritual pilgrimage, which I actually did, to France. It was part of my seminary work, and I was pregnant, and I went. Getting the opportunity, in that case, I went to some beautiful houses of worship, old cathedrals, you know, Chartres, over 1,000 years old, right? Different places of Christian heritage, and having the opportunity to pray, and mine were desperate prayers at that time. I walked a labyrinth. I had time to journal, and I had a powerful friend in my life who really encouraged me. And then God showed up in an amazing way, and I show it in the movie, but I'm not gonna tell you, Jacob.
Okay.
It was those. That was a time of refreshing, especially once I released myself to the Lord and really enjoyed. We show time that I spent in a Christian community called Taze, which is in Burgundy, France. Absolutely beautiful. They're worshiping with people from all over the world, all different denominations. That's one of the things that I love to expose people to through this movie is people don't even know places like that exist, right? So that was my refreshing. The challenging times were just in the beginning. I prayed so much, and I show this in the movie, when I was scared, when I was, I will share one line in the movie that was true. I think I let God down. That's how confused I was. I let God down. I'm supposed to be in training for pastor and do something else. Now I'm going to be having another kid. I messed up. And those were one of the one of the many lies that the enemy, you know, puts in front of you that are easy to grasp and take hold in your life.
Oh, that's so good. So I want to ask you a follow-up question about Psalms 23. So sure. With those who were telling you the, you know, essentially promoting abortion through maybe soft language, like, you know, look at all your options, but yet still opening up that space. Let's just, for Psalm 23 language, just put them under the word enemy. I'm not saying that they're your enemy, but I'm just saying, like, so in the passage where it says, you know, he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies, meaning people that were pushing you in the wrong direction in this case.
Yes.
How, you know, what was that like to have those people who were promoting, you know, other choices and options and maybe not the best, not encouragement at least. And what was it like for God to take care of you and to provide a meal and while your enemies were looking on in that time? What was that like?
Well, I think that next line in the psalm, he anoints my head with oil, right? And I think that both my faith in knowing where to turn, even though I was confused and scared and everything else, but also having other voices in my life that spoke, you know, who just were there with me. I mean, there were friends who, you know, spent hours on the phone with me, praying and encouraging me and, you know, listening to my tears, listening to my, you know, disappointment and all those things that I'm very honest about in the movie, you know. And I think that that's an important part of telling a good story, is being honest and not making it just sugarcoat it. And I think that's, I'm off of your topic here a little bit, but this is one that's important to me as a filmmaker. I believe one of the many criticisms of Christian films is we tend to sugarcoat things, and we're getting better at not doing that. And that's where I'm called. And I think that brings people into it. But I think that God brought this, one of the things that has come about through this is he knew that I was someone who would bring these issues to the surface. I didn't know that. I never, in a million years, Jacob, I never thought that this would be something I'd be talking about and it would be a platform for ministry that is important. But God knew.
And I love the fact that you're connected with APLOG, because they have to deal with a majority or a large portion of the medical community taking the opposite stance on life than what APLOG, you know, APLOG is just, you know, they're amazing medical professionals who are aligned with God in life.
Yes.
And the same thing is true about the sister organization called American College of Pediatricians, AC PEDS, they're also, you know, very similar to APLOG, where they're essentially fighting that same fight, but with pediatricians and helping children with health concerns and issues. And all that to say is, it just sounds like I'm imagining like the body of Christ, where, you know, you're working with this APLOG group and the messaging that they've been fighting on, well, working on for a long time, but you're bringing in this ministry, pastoral videographer cog into the, or puzzle piece into this puzzle or the body of Christ, and helping serve communities through telling the story, and really supporting these pro-life doctors with something that they have been trying to communicate but maybe not as videographers, maybe not as a pastor, but as doctors. How does that resonate, that idea of, like, you know, being a part of the body of Christ and trying to help, you know, APLOG with getting this message out?
I agree. It's amazing to be part of my journey through the film has just getting to know all the amazing pro-life work that's been out there You know, honestly, I knew about the Right to Life March. That was about it. I knew there were pregnancy centers out there, and I've pastored churches where we have partnered with them. But did I really understand the depth of everything that is going on in this movement, good and bad, right? And to be a part of that, to bring in a needed peace, that's just a blessing. And So it's just been wonderful.
Awesome. Well, Beth, before we close out, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share? Or can you also just mention the website again as well?
Yeah, I'll mention the website. It's conceivablethemovie.com. We also are on Facebook and Instagram. People can help the movie out by signing up for our newsletter or for announcements about showings. They can follow us on social media, but also I'm really looking for pregnancy centers and other groups who may want to do a pre-release showing of the movie. We're doing those all over the country. You can email me. I'd love to. There's an email on the website, but my email, maybe we can put it in show notes.
Just email it to me and I can put it in there. And I think if anyone would like to, turn that pre-release screening into a fundraising opportunity, it probably is already built that way, but that would be just an easy layer to tack on to a really fun, insightful, enjoyable, encouraging event.
Centers are doing that. I'm also speaking at banquets and those kinds of things. So, I'm here to serve, and it's such an important ministry that folks are doing out there. And, God is making it good.
Awesome, Beth. Well, would you close out this podcast in a prayer and just with the expectation that those who are listening will join in?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you for the way that you are so good, that you give us life, that you protect life, and that you give us sound teachings and hearts to recognize the preciousness of it. And Lord, I just pray that that Jacob continues to be blessed and bless others through this podcast, that those who are listening as well are finding more strength as they put on their hearts for this ministry that they are doing, as well as their armor of God in doing it. And Lord, I just pray your blessings on my ministry as well and this film as we go through the many hurdles in the filmmaking world. And Lord, that we would just continue to lift one another up as those cogs in the wheel of the body of Christ. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before I stop the recording, I want to say one more thing in the recording. So I'm going to put, the church I go to is an oversized home church. And we do a lot of, I say we as in them. I enjoy the music, but I'm not one of the music creators, but we as a church create a lot of music. And so the song that I put at the beginning will be a song that was written by Sue Siepen, who is one of the pastors at my church. And and she wrote the song based on Psalms 23, and it's called Everywhere. And so I'm going to write, I'll put that one at the beginning of the podcast. And at the end of the podcast, I'll put one written by Mark, another pastor at our church, who wrote one about the armor of God. And he wrote it with Eric Siepen, another one of the pastors at our oversized home church. But anyways, just so you know that the songs that will be coming from the church band that is at my church. And the church band is called Skeptic Chickens. And you can look it up on Spotify or anywhere. And we'll be playing the song. And a lot of the songs they craft are written based on passages of the Bible. And so some of the songs seem obscure or maybe hard to follow, but if you know that it goes based on a chapter in the book and chapter in the Bible, it starts to make a lot more sense. And so that's where they originate from, is trying to take ideas and passages and turning them into songs. And effectively, we're all learning the Bible if we listen to these songs, which I really enjoy. Anyways, that's where, I'm going to put those songs. I often put these songs in the beginning and the end, but I never explain where they come from. And like the last episode or one of the recent episodes had one about being in the fire, which, you know, it comes with where when Jesus was in the fire with the three. And it's a really, you know, we have a lot of just really awesome songs that are built based on like, and a lot of the songs are actually named based on like a book of the Bible and that chapter. Like that's usually the most common naming scheme that we've used. And, but anyway, I just wanted to put this note at the end so people can know where all these songs are coming from.
Step. Put on the armor of God. praying the Father, praying.